Happy New Year! I love the new year because for a few minutes, nothing is broken. It's like waking up, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, the house is quiet, everyone's asleep, no one's angry, no one's sick yet, at least that you know of. Everything's fine. And then the day starts. But that's what New Year's is like. All is well and anything is possible. A new year gives us a chance to refocus, to restart all kinds of things. I'm so, so grateful to be a part of this family with you all. Do you have any idea how much we shape each other? We are constantly shaping each other. We are who we are in large part because of one another. Praying for you all this week, I had a few pictures I kept seeing. None of them are particularly novel. You might think of them as cliches, but I'm praying them for you nonetheless. The first is a mountain. God wants to take some of you over a mountain or two in 2023, and only you know what that mountain is. These are not the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. These are stubborn mountains you want out of, away from, and you've been trying to go through them or somehow around them, and you can't seem to make it. And I believe in 2023, God wants to take some of you over those stubborn mountains, and he's provided not a helicopter, but a very narrow, maybe somewhat treacherous path, and if you'll go on it with some other people, you'll make your way across it. So the question for you is, will you admit you do not know how to get over that mountain and you need help? And will you ask someone for help? That's the first picture. The second picture is a finish line. God wants to finish some things he's been working on in some of you. He wants to give you the strength and the insight to do your part and the patience to trust him for his part. The question for you is, will you resist that temptation to quit and keep running? And the third picture is a tiny little seedling popping up out of the ground. God wants to do something new. This is in line with Jeff's word. God wants to do something new in all of us. In us as individuals, in us as a church. I am totally confident in that because if you've ever read the scriptures, that is thick all throughout every verse practically of the Bible, this thing of God creating new. It's even written into our genetics. Our skin replenishes itself every month or so. God promises over and over in the scriptures, and for some of us here today, it's time to let go of what used to be, who you used to be, what you used to do, and say yes to the new thing God wants you to do. When I saw this picture, I was impressed with the fact that that middle seedling is trying to hold on to what it was, a seed. But until it lets go of it, it can't open up fully to what it's supposed to be. So the question for this picture is, will you let go of what was? So, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. It's not that brave. I mean, I'm standing up here in front of y'all. You can at least do this part. If the word that Jeff gave, or if one of these pictures resonated with you, I want you to stand, and we're going to pray for you. And then you don't have to feel compelled to. You don't have to make anything happen. But we're going to just agree briefly, in confidence, that God is going to get us over mountains. God is going to bring us to the finish line. God is going to help us let go and be new. God is going to make us delighted to be in the mess, like Jeff brought to us this morning. God, you are so good. God, would you forgive us? for not walking that out, for not believing you, for not trusting you. We're so thankful for your patience for us, that you keep trying over and over and over to get it through our thick heads, how good and loving and compassionate and patient you are. I pray that you would bring a massive breakthrough in 2023 for every person standing, for their families, for their businesses. God, would you make this year a year where we would look back and be shocked at all of the amazing things you did? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme for the first sermon series of 2023 is all in. So for the first 8 weeks of this year, we're going to focus on this idea of all of us being all in. We've been created for a specific type of all-inness. That's a word I just made up. I'm going to use it a lot. There's a specific type of all-inness we've been created for as the people of God, and specifically as the people of Grace Covenant, as this house of God. There is a specific type of all-inness God is looking for. God creates beautifully diverse churches, just like he creates beautifully diverse people. He doesn't want us to look like New Beginnings or Duck or Parkview. He wants Grace to look like Grace, because he only creates originals. So at Grace, we define our uniqueness with 8 values, most of which are pretty common, but some of which are more unique to us. Our values are important because, along with our beliefs, our values and our beliefs drive everything we think, feel, and do with our lives. These core values are what we prioritize over other values. Doesn't necessarily mean the other values that aren't important. It just means we prioritize these over others. If you spent the last week with our family on vacation, you'd see that we value curiosity, and we prioritize curiosity over efficiency. You'd see that we value adventure over sleep. That's why I'm exhausted this morning. You'd see that we value the outdoors over the indoors whenever possible, just to name a few. If you spend a few months around us here at Grace, you will grow in all 8 of these values if you allow yourself to. And if you don't, you will hold us back as a faith community. I hate to tell you that, but that is the truth. Our health and our strength as a church, as the body of Christ, depends on all of you being all in, just like your personal health and your personal strength depend on your bodily systems being all in, your heart, your mind, your lungs, your joints being all in. So this graphic, this all-in graphic that Eric made for the series, it reminds us of the static of life. If you're a Gen Xer like me, you remember the TVs with the static. It reminds us of the static of life and the clarity that we can only find with Christ. And also, and this is what he actually designed it as, if you look closely, if you could zoom in, you'd see thousands of faces there. People all joined together, all in with one another for a common purpose and vision. People united, aligned by their values. So we are far more likely to see our vision realized, to see thousands of people saved, healed, and passionately following Jesus. We're far more likely to see that happen if we will be a people who are all about authentic community, discipleship, ministry of the Spirit, impartiality, outreach, generosity, cultural relevancy, and worship, which we'll focus on this morning. We define worship as honoring God and edifying the body of Christ by wholeheartedly offering our lives, our body, soul, spirit, mind, to him. Like Paul told the people of Colossae, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Like you're working for God and not just for people. That's worship. It's far more than just singing. Now, there have to be at least 100 different directions we could go with a short talk on worship, but I believe God wants to focus this morning on what causes worship. I came across this psalm in my normal Bible study a couple weeks ago, and it jumped out at me almost like this map for worship. Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Remember that one? Do you guys get these old scripture songs in your head? You don't want me to sing it. I'm not going to sing it for you. No. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, your God, Grace Covenant, for all generations, praise the Lord. The writer is giving us this map, so to speak, of what causes worship. He begins with, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With all his soul, with all he does, for all of his days. That's a lot of alls. That means it's not dependent on whether things are going well or not. This is all in worship. Four times he uses the same word, praise, 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 praise. He's like telling himself, listen, you're going to do this. Soul, you're going to do this. You are going to be about praise and honor and worship for one, the one and only God. And then he says this, do not put your trust in princes, in powerful people. Do not put your trust in powerful people, in human beings that cannot save you. Do not put your trust in princes and power. There's a reason the writer of the psalm goes straight from this thing about praise to a warning. Do not put your trust in people of power. He says this because he knows trust is something you put somewhere. You take this thing from you and you put it somewhere. And once you put it there, you can't also put it here. You only have so much of it. And you can't put your trust in two power sources at the same time. God's enemy is hell-bent, literally, on diverting your trust, diluting your trust, keeping you from trusting God, because he knows that the more you trust God, the more you'll worship God. I'll never forget, like 15 years ago, I was in a small group with a bunch of guys, and we were doing this Bible study thing called the Genesis Process, where we were reflecting on the different things that cause us, that we're prone to be addicted towards, or these coping mechanisms. And it was this amazing range of things. One guy was addicted to Mountain Dew. He drank like 3 big gulps every day. The other guy admitted he was addicted to money. He couldn't give any money to the church. A couple guys had problems with their phones and porn. Other people, I was like addicted to work. If you look, and then as the Bible study took us on, what we found at the root of all of it was we didn't trust God. It's the root cause of so many of our problems. Your trust in God can be diluted and diverted, and nothing diverts you from the power of God by looking to the power of other people. This includes our obsession with becoming powerful people, becoming perfect people, which we never will. This past week, we were in Miami Beach, and we saw money and power on a scale you just don't see in Mount Crawford, y'all. I'm just telling you. Now, it's fine to be impressed with all that. I love a good Ferrari. I mean, and it's natural, and it's right to look to professional, powerful people. You probably should have a lawyer and a financial guy and a doctor in your life. What we have to be honest about is who and what are we looking to for security and comfort. And here's the antidote the psalmist prescribes. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. After all, he made everything. He's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything. Blessed are those who put their hope in God. The word can also mean happy. Happy are those who look to God every time they get in trouble, which if you're anything like me is multiple times a day. Well off are those who look to God, the God who made everything, who can remake you. Over and over, these are the people who can't help themselves but praise and worship God because they've seen him come through over and over and over, maybe not in the way they expected, but they've come to finally realize he actually is trustworthy. He actually does the stuff he says he's going to do. Have you ever noticed that there are no scriptures, not that I'm aware of, and if you know of one, you can talk to me after. Have you ever noticed there are no scriptures that say we should trust one another? We're told to love and serve and surrender. We're told to be mistreated, to allow ourselves to be mistreated by one another. But as far as I can see, there's no scriptures that say we're supposed to trust one another. Meanwhile, the entire Christian life is based on trust. Trust in God. Put it all right there. Put it all right in him. Put your hope in God alone. Trust and worship always go together because worship is the overflow of trust. I wanted to know, you know, I was thinking as I was reading this psalm, the psalm writer says, God is faithful forever. How does he know that? He doesn't know the future. He doesn't even know his tomorrow. He's choosing to believe it. He's making this scandalous belief. It reminds me of the wise men. They load up their valuable things. They leave their families. No doubt everybody's mad at them. What are you doing? We're following the star. To go where? We got to follow the star. That's all I can tell you right now. That's actually a picture of the Christian life as a whole. We're like, we're following this God. We're on our way to him. Build your entire worldview around the truth that God is good and that everything that is good is somehow from God and make it your life purpose to look for more and more evidence for that. The Lord upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, sets the prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down. God alone can deliver you from whatever mess you're in. You might as well stop, as Jeff reminded us, trying to fix it all yourself. He delivers us from the messes we're in, even when we get in the messes by our own failure. No problem. Can we have a worship team come up here? On Wednesday, I was talking with my boys about college. My older son in particular, he's applying to all these colleges. He's getting all these letters in the mail from these colleges. He's freaking out a little bit about it. And I was reminding him, you can trust God. You can trust God for your future. He makes everything good in the long run, even our mistakes and our failures. Take one of my many failures, for example. As a freshman, going going to Messiah College, which, how I even got in that school, I don't know, but it made sense. I didn't last there very long. I couldn't do it. I wasn't mature enough. I wasn't smart enough. But it caused me to transfer to Penn College, which caused me to run into a very smart, very beautiful young freshman named Mercy Henning, now Mrs. Souter. My failure led to a series of events which led to three human beings. Think about that. Had I thrived at Messiah College, I guess I'd have met somebody else, hopefully. But I wouldn't have these three humans. This is God's way. He feeds us when we're hungry. He lifts us up when we're hunched over in discouragement, when we feel like nobody gets us. He gives us second and third and 2023rd chances. He gives vision to people who can't see with their eyeballs or see with the eyes of their heart anymore. He frees people who are stuck. And all of that is what causes us to put all our trust, all our hope in Him. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner. You know, foreigners aren't just people who come from other countries. They are each of us when we feel like nobody else gets it. He sustains the fatherless, the widows, and thank God He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said, of the increase, of the expansion of His kingdom, there will be no end. We worship God because He does what a million others promise and they just cannot do. Earlier this week, I was spending some time worrying about some stuff with my family and worrying about you all and the church, just kind of meditating on a variety of worst case scenarios. You know, just kind of sitting and thinking about how bad things could go. And then Thursday morning, I thought, you know what? I should pray. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I should pray. Who knows? Maybe I'm imagining things wrong. Maybe things could go a little different. So I whipped out my huge iPad. I've been doing this journaling, conversational style prayer thing lately. One of my mentors gave this to me. It's about 10 different steps. And you praise God, you thank God, you imagine things, you ask God for things, you confess things. It helps me to hear from God, and I write it out as I go. By the way, if you want that, just email me and I'll send you that little prayer template. Just send me a quick email. Anyway, I was praying and I got to this part where you pray, Lord, is there anything you want to heal in me? And immediately I found myself writing to God about these worries. And I wrote, God, I need you to heal me from worry. I need you to heal me from not trusting you. I'm supposed to tell people they can trust you. Would you help me with that? Almost immediately, I got this sense from the Lord, clear as day, Mike, I've entrusted these people you care about to you. Will you trust me for their future? Mike, think about someone you're worried about right now. Someone you love. God's entrusted you with that person in some way. Will you trust Him for their future? I felt Him say, I've asked you to be a husband, a father, a friend, a pastor to these people, not their Savior. And then I was reminded again of this psalm. I am the God that upholds, the God that gives and frees and makes things. I am the God that lifts up and watches over, the God who loves and the God who reigns and rules forever and everywhere, including right here, right now. Psalms like this were meant to redirect our attention and to inspire us to worship. Worry is meditating on what the enemy might do, while worship is meditating on what God has promised he will do. Let's say that one more time. Worry is meditating on what the enemy might do. Boy, he likes to terrorize us with that, doesn't he? While worship is meditating on what God has promised he will do. They're both meditating. They're both just thinking, processing over, over, over. Meditate on who God is and your fears will fade and your trust will grow. And as that trust grows, your worship will grow. And as your worship grows, your willingness to sacrifice your time and your money will grow. And now, watch out, you are becoming increasingly all in. As Paul told the people of Rome, in response to God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, completely pleasing to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just a few words about fasting, since we're entering a week of fasting. One of the ways we renew our minds and we grow in trust, we grow out of worry and into worship, out of fear and into trust, is to fast. You start fasting and you realize how very dependent you are on something outside of yourself. We fast as a way of humbling ourselves, of intentionally depriving ourselves from something, to remind ourselves of how desperate we are for the creator of ourselves to satisfy ourselves. It's a lot of ourselves. So a few quick tips. First of all, fast from something you need. Not social media, that doesn't count. That's not fasting. You should take a break from social media anyway, or whatever else anyway. Fast from something you need. Food is the primary thing. Now, if you have like some health thing where you can't fast from food, I don't know, just eat like straight crackers and water or something, but fast from food. Like one of the ways I do it is I'm going to probably, I want to not overpromise, but what I often do is I just eat dinner. That way I still have time with my family. I'm still eating. I'm not totally crazy from not eating all week. But by not eating breakfast, not eating lunch, not eating random food all throughout the day, I tell you, it redirects your attention. So first of all, fast from something you need. Second, make added space for reflection and prayer. Don't just fast and go on about every other normal aspect of your life. Build some room in your day for some added prayer, reflection, conversation with someone. And lastly, be expectant without specific expectations. Invite God to speak to you. Have expectancy. What are we going to do, God? What do you want to tell me? Without the very specific expectations like, I'm going to fast so you tell this woman to marry me, or, you know, whatever it is. I want to close with this, we're going to sing that song. You all sang so beautifully, like a choir. And then I'm going to close us. Can you stand? This song has this word, amen. We sing amen over and over and over. And if you didn't know it, the word amen means I agree. So if you agree with this idea of wanting to grow in trust, sing it with all your heart. And I'll close this after a little bit. I am so glad the goodness of God is not dependent on me believing it or seeing it. This is a blessing for you. 2,800-year-old blessing. It said every day for 2,800 years all over the planet. It's the blessing God gave to Moses, who gave to Aaron, who gave to the people, who gave it to the people, who the people to the people, to us. And now it's for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I'm going to invite the ministry team to come forward. If there is anything that you need prayer for in any way, maybe it's something you stood for and you want prayer for, let us pray for you. I'm going to give you that blessing one more time. Why not? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you in 2023. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Love you. Bless you all. Have a great day. Great start to your year.